To be known is to be understood, and thus to grant that power over oneself to another. There is a subtle authority in secrecy, in the preservation of knowledge of the self from the prying concerns of those without. The chapters of the Adeptus Astartes, the Space Marines, are the finest warriors in the service of humanity. By the words of the Ministorum priests, they are the angels of death, warriors who are the Imperium's most viciously capable weapons, genetic armaments in the God Emperor's arsenal. Within the peerless ranks of the Astartes, however, there exists an astonishing variation of character and form. Many, most famously chapters like the Ultramarines, are perennially depicted as paragons of heroics, while the extreme fervor of the Black Templars is depicted as piety of the most aspirational sort. Within others, however, lie darker hearts that simply have no intent upon changing. Indeed, they are ones that go to great lengths to conceal that which others dearly wish to discover. Know then that this is a record of the brazen spears of the Emperor, the cold malice of Terra embodied. The Minotaur's chapter of the Adeptus Astartes. The Minotaurs are a curious case study in both the vagaries of imperial record-keeping and the willful use of power by those who seek to control. Their origins are utterly occluded. Beyond the past several thousand years, records of them are either sealed beyond the purview of one's own Logos Historica Vertia, or even the Imperial Inquisition. It is no small astonishment that it has been easier for one to access records concerning the heretic legions of the Age of Darkness than a modern, extant chapter of the Adeptus Astartes. But one hopes that this could give one's acolytes some grounding in the nature of what we are examining here. In the earliest evidence one has been permitted to analyze, there is mention of a Minotaur's chapter of the Adeptus Astartes participating in a conflict known as the Solar Rebellion. The date is unclear. One's studies lead one to conclude that this conflict occurred some centuries following the War of the Beast, but given that the First Crusade of the Despoiler was centuries prior, in M31, this could be false. Regardless, the conflict began as a series of major anti-imperial uprisings on worlds throughout Segmentum Solar, that at this point had been relatively peaceful, the core worlds of the Imperium secure against its enemies. Orchestrated by scattered bands of Night Lords, Iron Warriors, and, curiously, World Eaters, heretic Astartes from the traitor legions, over 100 systems fell to a plague of anarchy and sedition. Astartes chapters, including the Death Eagles and the Angels of Absolution, were at the forefront of the hunt for renegade Chaos Space Marine commanders, and were joined by two chapters whose histories would later plunge into obscurity and occlusion: the Carcharodons and the Minotaurs. The very participation of the chapter in the Solar Rebellion is, however, disputed. Despite the base fact of the extreme lack of details surrounding the conflict itself, certain other records state with confidence that the chapter was created during the 21st Cursed Founding in M36, a period when the creation of several new Astartes chapters was marred by a string of horrendously ill fortune and sinister mysteries. Many were utterly destroyed, several others disappeared from Imperial history altogether, and yet more went on to develop genetic idiosyncrasies that strained against the definition of deviant mutations. There is, it should be noted, no instance of the Minotaurs appearing in surviving Imperial records between M32 and the 21st Founding in M36. This has led many chroniclers to suppose that the chapter of the Solar Rebellion was merely the first Astartes chapter to bear the name, and that the true origin of the modern Minotaurs lies in M36. Given the sheer devastation that has been wrought upon the archival base of the Imperium, it is possible that a legacy could have been actively renewed, or equally likely that those who bequeathed the chapter with its name had little to no idea that it had even been used previously. Regardless, the Minotaurs of the Cursed Founding persisted where others of their ilk, such as the Flame Falcons or the Blood Gorgons, fell to apostasy and shame. They were supremely effective Astartes, but rapidly gained a reputation for ferocity on the battlefield that was notable even by the standards of the Space Marines. The word berserker rarely applied to any but the most bellicose warriors of the Space Wolves, the Flesh Terrors, or the Blood Angels, persisted amongst the Minotaurs, as they displayed a tendency for eschewing forms of combat that did not permit them rapid, close-quarters contact with enemy forces. Likewise, while they would rapidly respond to distress calls from Imperial worlds or campaign forces, they possessed a willful disdain for coordination with the Imperium as a whole. Indeed, their very presence in a conflict zone would often only be announced by their cataclysmic arrival into one particular battle, the target having been selected solely at the Minotaur's own discretion, with no heed paid to any wider strategic plan whatsoever. Upon any victory, the chapter would withdraw its Astartes wholesale, with no attempt made to consolidate gains or follow through with other Imperial forces. In many cases, this would leave said Imperial forces open to a counterattack by the foe. The Minotaurs seemingly cared nothing for this. This isolationism and bellicosity naturally won them few allies, and developed plenty of enemies. Likewise, suspicions raised by sheer dint of their birth and the afflictions faced by their fellow 21st founding chapters were heightened by the Minotaurs' inconsistent submissions of gene seed to the Magos Invigila responsible for monitoring their genetic stability. Such a combination of factors naturally bred suspicion, and suspicion the Minotaurs did absolutely naught to address or allay. Indeed, records from the Magos Invigila examinations state that the chapter's gene seed had internally been dubbed chimeric. The word is one admittedly heavily loaded amongst scholars of the Adeptus Astartes. Its use often conjures up the wildest of fancies, of gene seed derived solely from the traitor legions of old, and reintroduced to the Imperium under sinister circumstances, leading to the conspiracies of polluted, chaotic traitors masquerading as loyalist chapters. Without further extrapolation within these records, the use of the appellation for the Minotaurs has proved a fertile ground amongst chroniclers for such wanton theorizing. In the strictest sense, yes, the term chimeric encompasses gene seed that is of a proscribed source. But while this can include a forbidden root genetic code, it also refers to gene seed whose use was banned owing to heavy tampering, modification, or genetic drift. The term, having been applied to the Minotaurs, is perfectly understandable given the history of the Cursed Founding. Genetic abnormalities within those chapters abounded. The Black Dragons' malfunctioning os modula saw them grow bladed crests of bone from their forearms, while the Flame Falcon's degradation was so marked their Astartes would spontaneously burst into flames that never seemed to touch their flesh. Experimentation prohibited under the Lex Imperialis was known to have occurred during the Cursed Founding. The Minotaurs' apparently barely containable rages and their unwillingness to work with their Imperial comrades was labeled the likely result of intense psychological destabilization caused by aberrant gene seed experimentation. No actual proof of this was made public, or even circulated amongst the higher levels of the Imperium. It appears that, instead, from late M38, the Minotaurs simply vanished from Imperial records. It is unlikely they were destroyed, as other chapters from their founding had been. Rather, in one's opinion, they had been subjected to a series of heavy-handed data purgations and archival obliterations, seeking to remove them from history for whatever purpose. In early M41, the death of Lord Solar Macarius, a living saint whose crusade brought over 1,000 worlds into the Imperial fold, precipitated a crisis that came to be dubbed the Macarian Heresy. Rivalries between his 7 army group generals, held at bay by the Lord Solar's own force of personality and will, exploded into a civil war throughout the newly conquered territories so hard won by the Imperium. Eventually, nearly the entire volume conquered by Macarius fragmented into warring petty kingdoms, each ruled over by one of Macarius's old generals, who had renounced their oaths to the Emperor and Imperium in favor of their own greeds and egos. The Minotaurs joined the Imperial Reclamation Crusade against these wayward polities, but it was immediately apparent that they were a chapter profoundly changed. Their bronze power armor and heraldry were familiar, but in every other aspect, they were almost unrecognizable. While still being relatively private for an Astartes chapter, they would now at least willingly conduct strategic and tactical coordination with Imperial forces present in the volume. Their brutality remained, yet it was now seemingly rigorously controlled. They went where they willed, as any Astartes chapter is wont to do, but operated within the overall umbrella of Imperial command, in that, at the very least, they seemed to be heeding the word of an authority, and no longer picking targets out of seemingly nothing but their own personal satisfaction. What was most immediately noticeable, however, was the chapter's armory. Despite having been, for the greater part of their recorded history, a minor and isolated chapter, the Minotaurs now possessed a powerful fleet with more than a dozen strike cruisers, above average for any Space Marine chapter, all of which was centered around the Daedalus Crater. The flagship, officially classified within the Imperium as a heavy assault carrier, was and yet remains a relic of unquantifiable power and unknown origin, adhering to no extant Imperial battleship mark and possessing weaponry that vastly outstrips other ships of its tonnage. It serves as a mobile fortress monastery for the chapter besides. Few indeed are the chapters that possess such a vessel. Most of renown are reserved for the chapters of the First Founding, relics from the days of the Legion as Astartes, or their famed successors. The Daedalus Crater was merely the proverbial tip of the berg. Upon the battlefield, it became obvious that the Minotaurs were now equipped to the very highest standards of an Astartes chapter as of early M41. Their armory clearly bore extensive stocks of relic power armor variants, including Mark III armor for void warfare, as well as far above average quantities of the new Mark VIII Errant pattern armor, itself extremely noticeable given the rarity of full suits of that armor anywhere within the Imperium, let alone in a chapter with no first founding progenitor. The Minotaurs also clearly had sufficient access to enough Terminator armor suits to equip the majority of their first company, bolstered indeed by the rare Tartarus pattern armor and the seemingly unique Arconac pattern. Relic vehicles were likewise present. Whole squadrons of Heresy-era Storm Eagle gunships were seen in deployment, and Terminator squads were borne into combat inside the extremely rare Spartan assault transports. Even the chapter's ancients were granted boons of priceless technology. A startlingly high number of Contemptor pattern dreadnoughts were observed fighting alongside Minotaur forces. Yet curiously, these Hecaton, as the chapter knew them, were not granted the honors typically reserved for Astartes entombed ancients, rather treated with a callous indifference that seemed to border on disgust. While many Imperial commanders expressed satisfaction with the conduct of the Minotaurs during the Macarian Heresy, notably with their extreme thoroughness in extermination actions, the chapter soon became embroiled in the so-called Eucine Incident. The internecine conflict between Macarius' generals embroiled not only the Astra Militarum regiments under the command of each, but Astartes' chapters, pledged and allied to one of the Seven. One such rivalry, between the Inceptors and the Doom Warriors, came to blows and eventually open conflict. Unwilling to risk the intercession of the Imperial Guard, High Command dispatched the Minotaurs to resolve the matter, hoping the now explosively expanding renown of the chapter would stamp out the feud before any actual action had to take place. Had Imperial Command thought that this would involve diplomacy, they were completely mistaken. The Minotaurs attacked both combatants immediately, decimating both sides in precise yet brutal strikes. The Doom Warriors withdrew wholesale, fleeing out of the system with the remainder of their fleet. The Inceptors, however, became encircled, with the Minotaurs winnowing them piece by bloody piece until they were forced into a humiliating surrender rarely recorded in the annals of Imperial history. Less than 100 Inceptors survived the battle, and to add insult to their injury, the Minotaurs seized almost every relic possessed by the chapter, including their battle barge. The act was nearly unheard of, and sent waves of fury through many of the chapters of the Adeptus Astartes. The Inceptors were of the second founding, possessing an honor roll nearly 10,000 years in the making, and yet here was a relative newcomer, decimating their forces and seizing their most prized possessions. The Ultramarines, the progenitors of the Inceptors, banned the Minotaurs from the realm of Ultramar, and refused to engage in crusade alongside them, as did a significant number of the chapter's successors. Some even went as far as to swear oaths of vengeance. Had the Minotaurs cared, it was not apparent. If anything, this was merely the beginning of outright hostility between the brazen Astartes and the Sons of Gilliman. At the 14th Siege of Antigonus, they nearly came to blows with the Genesis chapter, and have been known on occasion to publicly insult the conduct of Ultramarines Chapter Master, Marnius Kalgar. Since their reemergence, Minotaurs have been involved in several notable campaigns across the Imperium, almost invariably at full chapter strength, as appears to be their desired deployment. The Badab War is, of course, the most infamous of these conflicts, a tale so monumental your humble servant is chronicling its length and breadth elsewhere. A cold-blooded destruction of secessionist forces in the Maelstrom Zone is a thing of dark renown. The shock assaults surpassed only by the arrival of the Carcharodon's chapter subsequently. Curiously, despite the level of casualties the chapter sustained in bringing the secessionists to heel, they were extremely active in the last decades of M41, taking part somehow both in the opening gambits of the recapture of Rin's world and committing in full strength to battling the Necron Maenarch dynasty in the Orphean War, alongside the full chapters of the Nemesis chapter, the Red Seraphs, and the Angels Revenant. Those that have served alongside this newest iteration of the Minotaurs have presented opinions about how they differ with records of the past, in terms of everything from heraldry to behavior to character. They are almost universally brooding and malign. Many Astartes have labeled them as being killers without honor, lacking any principle or integrity, and containing within them an aura of barely controlled malice. They remain secretive and paranoid. Communication with them is blunt and frequently quite hostile. Minotaur commanders appear to frequently goad supposed allies for naught but spite, belittling their fellow chapters for seemingly no good reason. While they will fight alongside other Imperial forces and adhere to broader strategic coordination, they seemingly do not do so with anything but significant scorn. In terms of the chapter's organization, the Minotaurs that reemerged in M41 appear to follow the tenets of the Codex Astartes, but on a strategic level, differ in several distinct fashions from other chapters. As mentioned, they have a marked preference for deployment at the chapter level, or at least with as little division of force as can be possible in any given circumstance. Chroniclers have noted a predilection for siegecraft and attritional warfare. While this appears frequently in historiography concerning the Minotaurs, one is hard-pressed to support the claim that this represents a massive doctrinal shift from the earlier iterations of the chapter. The infamous berserker rages may be gone, but the modern Minotaurs have invariably pursued operations that allow them to commit to sudden shock assaults of unparalleled brutality. If this is preceded by a long siege, then so be it, but in many cases the chapter appears to use such operations to merely winnow the foe until a position of superiority is absolutely assured. Their aforementioned armory aids this massively. The Minotaurs are seemingly one of the most well-equipped chapters in the entire Imperium, with arms and armaments that rival a first founding chapter in both age, provenance, and lethality. Inquisitorial observers have noted a starkly rapid progression in a Minotaur's neophyte's development to full Battle Brother status, quite brief compared to many other chapters. The Minotaurs themselves have officially denied that their gene seed somehow contributes to this, and have explained the rapid Astartes ascension as a result of extensive practices of hypno-indoctrination and invasive neurocerebral surgery, rites not dissimilar from those developed in the later years of the Horus Heresy, to allow for rapid intake of inductii Astartes. While not strictly speaking heretical, nor forbidden, such practices are typically extremely risky, running the chance of the subject undergoing grand mal psychotic breakdowns and losing their sanity permanently. Should the Minotaur suffer any losses due to this, the Imperium is largely unaware of it, and even if they do, they have clearly accepted it as the price of rapid casualty replacement. Given their apparent disdain for Imperial authority, in most of its forms, and for their fellow Astartes chapters in particular, it has been noted by observers and chroniclers that this does not extend to one particular font of power, that of the High Lords of Terra. Indeed, the Minotaurs appear to show nothing but deference and fanatical loyalty to those seated at the High 12 of the Senatorum Imperialis. A direct link between the High Lords and the chapter has never been conclusively proven. Such a thing, if revealed, would make for an almost existential threat to the distribution of power within the Imperium. No members of the High 12 are supposed to count on anything other than petitioned assistance from the Adeptus Astartes, conducted through approved channels. It is perhaps no surprise, considering the factors at play. The chapter is better equipped and supplied than most, indicating a patronage of no small means given their lack of any ties to other Forge Worlds or Astartes chapters. They've committed acts against other Imperial forces that would typically lead to censure or, potentially, excommunication, none of which have led to either. Inquisitorial inquiries into said have run into hard dead ends, either with investigating agents murdered or sources of data suddenly redacted or expunged by unknown authorities. Whatever concerns the Ordo Hereticus or the Ordo Astartes may bear, no single inquisitor, or even conclave, has been able to prove any links exist, or made maneuvers based on these suspicions. To be frank, given the sheer power held by both the Minotaurs and the High 12, it is uncertain if such a thing would even be possible. No finer illustration of the mystery of the Minotaurs exists than what occurred during the recent Hexarchy crisis upon Holy Terra itself. Arriving from parts unknown and in full chapter force, the Minotaurs ostensibly came to Terra owing to damage inflicted upon their fortress monastery and corruption of their gene seed by the plague marines of the Death Guard. They were, supposedly, in dire need of reinforcement and resupply. As Shield Captain Valerian of the Adeptus Custodes noted upon meeting Minotaur's chapter master, Asterion Moloch, such a statement was an extremely obvious lie. A ludicrous falsehood by any capacity. The Daedalus crater was in orbit around the Imperial Palace in full operational efficacy. The Minotaurs themselves also appeared to be one of the first chapters to receive Primaris Space Marine reinforcements, ahead of even the wounded Imperial Fists also stationed upon Terra at the time. The Minotaur's true purpose appeared to be intervention, military in nature, to deal with Terra's ongoing cultist uprisings in the wake of the opening of the Great Rift. In this, they were supremely and almost unfortunately effective. As Captain Valerian noted, they would inevitably purge discovered cults to such an extent that no usable investigative evidence was preserved. Additionally, they were perhaps even more pugnacious than usual. On at least one occasion, a Minotaur's Astartes came to full blows with one of the Imperial Fists under the command of Captain Tor Garadon. The chapter eventually sided with the Hexarchy upon its revelation. Several sitting members of the High Lords of Terra, including Imelda Perith, Lord High Admiral of the Imperial Navy, Mar-Av Ashariel, the Lord Commander Militant, Fadix, Grand Master of Assassins, Avalesia Drachmar, Grand Provost Marshal, joined forces with two recently deposed members, Baldo Slist the Ecclesiarch and Irthu Himatalion, the former Grand Master of the Administratum, all too openly and militarily oppose significant reforms recently made by the word of the resurrected Primarch Rubut Gulliman. The Hexarchy intended for the reinstatement of deposed council members and the arrest of Gilliman's Reform Council, and counted the full support of several regiments of the Astra Militarum, a battle fleet of the Imperial Navy, and the chapter strength of the Minotaurs. It was eventually revealed that the Hexarchy had been baited into revealing themselves formally. Their lives were ended by carefully prepared Imperial assassins, Grandmaster Fadix having been a double agent the entire time. In the immediate aftermath of this, the sitting Grandmaster of the Administratum, Violetta Roskavler, deployed herself before Asterion Moloch, bearing her seal of office. The chapter master of the Minotaurs engaged in a brief, unheard exchange with Roskavler, and in silence turned back from what appeared to be an inevitably bloody confrontation between the chapter and the Adeptus Custodes. Cancellarius of the Senatorum, Anna Mirza Jek, has speculated within her own records of the incident that the former Grand Master, Himatalion, had indeed been the one to summon the chapter to Terra, to bolster his own strength prior to overt rebellion. Based on the apparent authority of his successor, Roskavler having over Asterion Moloch. Whether all members of the High Lords, or just the Grand Master of the Administratum, possess such a connection, whether it is simply an oath bound by the chapter to follow along, or something altogether more profound within their gene seed, is utterly unknown. If the Chancellor of the Senatorum Imperialis cannot discern what this is, your humble servant likely possesses no such power. One suspects that this relationship will never quite be uncovered. The High Twelve are powers supreme, and one imagines the preservation of this secret, if it exists, is of paramount importance to them. One wonders, too, whether, if this is a thread one is willing to pull on further. Perhaps it is best that this record rest, and that discretion remain the better part of valor. Until one's studies may continue. Ave Imperator. Gloria in excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter @OculusImperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.